Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to the Big Red Bench this Sunday evening on a very, very busy Sunday of sport. We are going to round up a massively busy day of local Gaelic games with the final round of games in the Premier Senior Hurling Championship. Dennis Hurley will be joining us very shortly to review all of them and the various permutations that comes out of that. We're also going to be looking back at Ireland's win over Azerbaijan last night. Joe Gamble will be here to review that. We'll hear from Stephen Kenny and Chidoze Ogbene as well. We're also going to reflect on a big, big win for Munster today in the United Rugby Championship. A 30-point winning margin there for Munster. And we look ahead to the Irish under-17s in action in Turner's Cross tonight against North Macedonia. All that plus plenty more coming up on the bench between now and 7 p.m. Right, good evening. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you on the Big Red Bench on a hectic Sunday of sport. Actually, loads of stuff to get through between now and 7 o'clock. As I said, we will have a reaction very shortly to all those local hurling games. A lot of action today around the city and indeed the county as well. Loads of games going on. And there was loads of kind of back and forth and changing of tables and positions in the tables and who was going through and who wasn't going through and so on right across the afternoon. So we'll find out comprehensively and definitively who has progressed and who hasn't progressed and so on with Dennis Hurley very, very shortly. We're also going to have Joe Gamble joining us on the line to reflect and give us analysis on a big, big win for Ireland last night in Azerbaijan, although Joe is telling me that it's a game that Ireland should always win against Azerbaijan, and I agree with him, but we didn't beat him a few weeks ago, so, or last month I should say, but Ireland did beat them last night, a big 3-0 win for Ireland over in Azerbaijan in Baku with two goals from Callum Robinson. Two great goals from Callum Robinson. Callum Robinson, actually really good goals from him. And then a Cork man adding the third goal for Ireland last night, which was great as well. Chidoze Ogbene, formerly of Cork City and now playing in the UK with Rotherham United. He came off the bench last night and he scored a lovely header for Stephen Kenny's team to give them that big win in Azerbaijan. Ireland 3, Azerbaijan 0. So Joe will be chatting about that with us. We'll also hear from Stephen Kenny, his reaction, and we'll hear some reaction from the man himself, Chidoze Ogbene, who got the goal too. We'll hear from Colin O'Brien reflecting on the Irish under-17s big win against Andorra. 5-0 win for them down in Turner's Cross on Thursday night. I was down there myself watching that game, and it was a comprehensive win for Ireland. Did very, very well against Andorra. And another Cork City connection there, Mark O'Mahony amongst the scorers, and his city teammate Cathal Heffernan captaining the Republic of Ireland the other night as well. So they're playing again tonight in Turner's Cross. If you want to get down there, kickoff is in about an hour's time, 7 p.m. The Irish under-17s, an international game against North Macedonia this evening. And as I said, I was down at the game myself on Thursday night. They were brilliant, lots of goals, very entertaining. So if you're looking for something to do this evening, maybe get yourself down to Turner's Cross for that game, North Macedonia and the Republic of Ireland's under-17s. And you'll see some Cork lads, the likes of Mark O'Mahony and Cathal Heffernan and a few more as well, playing for Ireland down there tonight. So 7 p.m. kickoff for that one. We'll hear from Colin O'Brien ahead of that game, chatting to Rory as well in just a little while. We'll have a reaction to a big win for Munster today, beating Scarlets 43 points to 13 in the United Rugby Championship. We're also going to have more Gaelic games later on in the show, looking ahead to Monday's Premier Minor Hurling Final. We'll hear from both the Bride Rovers and Glen Rovers camps, and that's the gist of what's to come between now and 7 o'clock, and plenty more as well. But first of all, let's round up the day's sport, and as I mentioned, it was the final round of games being played in the Premier Senior Hurling Championship group stages today. The big game of the day was reigning champions the Rockies Blackrock up against their city rivals St Finbarr's going head to head. So a big game for the Rockies, and they were winners over the Bars in Porkeycueve today. 322 to 21 points is how it finished, and Alan Connolly scoring there, 2-9 for the Rockies. Last gasp point from Aaron's Own saw them draw with Charleville today. Aaron's Own 123, Charleville 220, which sees now Aaron's Own progress as group winners there, I think, in Blackrock second. We'll clarify all that with Dennis Hurley very, very shortly. Elsewhere, SARS will go straight through to the semi-finals. They had a good win today, 321 to 214 over Middleton. Elsewhere, it finished Douglas 20 points, Bishopstown 110, Glen Rovers 220, Newtown Shandrum 219, and Appiershey 21 points, Carrigtool 16 points. In rugby, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Munster with a big win against Scarlets over in Wales today. 43 points to 13, a 30-point winning margin for Munster. So a big, big win for them today in the United Rugby Championship. And that's three wins from three for Munster now this season. So they're going well. Liam Coombs went over the line twice for Johan van Grand's side as they sealed the bonus point as well. The win was, unfortunately, slightly overshadowed, though, by RG Snyman having to limp off injured just 9 minutes after coming on as a substitute in that game. But a good win for Munster nonetheless, and we'll have some reaction to that later on the show for you as well. Elsewhere in football tonight, big game as well in the Nations League, the final of the UEFA Nations League this evening. And there was a couple of cracking semi-finals in the Nations League, wasn't there, during the week? Kick-off for that in the San Siro tonight, 7:45. It is Spain up against France. That should be a cracker of a match, actually. And in golf, Cork's John Murphy shot a 3-under par final round of 68 at the Spanish Open today. That leaves the Kinsale native 11-under par all round and in a tie for 24th. Spain's Rafa Cabrera Bello won that after a playoff. And on the PGA Tour, Adam Schenk leads the way on the Shriner Children's Open on 18-under par there. Seamus Power, 8 shots back on 10-under with Graham McDowell, 2-over. And in Formula 1 today, Valtteri Bottas, love that, that's a great name always, I think, when I'm talking about Formula 1. Valtteri Bottas, he won the Turkish Grand Prix today with Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton in fifth and his championship rival Max Verstappen took second place. The Red Bull driver is now 6 points clear at the top of the standings there. And last night, it was all about the boxing. Now, I didn't either stay up or get up to watch the boxing at like 4 or 4:30 in the morning, but by all accounts, it was an absolute cracker of a fight, one of the best fights in quite a while. And Tyson Fury was victorious over Deontay Wilder in an unforgettable world title match in Las Vegas. I watched some clips of it today and it looked absolutely class. He retained his WBC world title belt with an 11th round knockout. And like that was some going because he had already been floored twice earlier on in the bout in the fourth round. So Tyson Fury getting the knockout in the 11th round and retaining his belt. And he claims he's the best heavyweight fighter of his generation. I was hearing quite a few people today saying possibly he's the greatest heavyweight fighter ever, although maybe the likes of Muhammad Ali might have something to say about that if he was still around. But Tyson Fury was disappointed by Wilder's sportsmanship after the bout. He wasn't too happy.
We fought like two warriors in there, and I went over to shake his hand and say, well done. And he was like, no, I don't respect you. I was like, how can you say I've cheated when you know in your own heart and your full team knows that you just got beat fair and square? Is this a sore loser in boxing or what? But I'm sure he's not the first one and he won't be the last one.
Yes, he's a good character, Tyson Fury, and he now says there's no greater heavyweight boxer than him. So he thinks he's the best of his generation, maybe the best of all time after retaining his world title last night against Deontay Wilder. It was actually the third meeting between the two lads, and it became an all-time classic fight in Vegas last night. And Fury says he is one of the best fighters ever.
I'm the best fighter in my era. I'm the generation fighter. I actually feel sorry for all these guys who's had to fight me because I'm in the dressing room at home. I'm not nervous. You know, it's a boxing fight to me. I feel sorry for them because they're fighting fighter of the generation, that's for sure.
Okay, so yeah, fighter of the generation he certainly is, and I wonder will like that fight against Anthony Joshua go ahead at some stage, but obviously Joshua losing to Usyk in his fight a few weeks ago throws a few spanners in the works there as well. Now we are going to return to Gaelic Games and we're going to round up all the action today. As we mentioned, it was the final round of the Premier Senior Hurling Championship group stages today. Dennis Hurley was at one of the games today. He was down in Páirc Uí for the Rockies and the Bars today, and it was the Rockies who were the winners there, as we mentioned earlier on. Dennis, we'll round up all of the action today, I suppose, but first of all, tell us how that game went and what you thought of it down in Páirc Uí.
Well, it went away the bar, or, you know, went away Black Rock, my apologies, 3-22-21, a 10-point win. So that put Black Rock through because they went into it a point behind the Bars. Goals were a difference in the second half, two from Alan Connolly and one from Michael O'Halloran. So, like, that obviously put Black Rock through, but while that was going on, Aaron's Own were playing Charleville in the other game in the group, and Charleville couldn't qualify, but they were looking to avoid the relegation playoffs, and Aaron's Own were obviously looking to try to get a win to guarantee their progress, but Charleville led for a lot of it. So even during the second half when the Bars were down, you know, they trailed by 15 points at one stage. there was still a chance that they were going to be going through, you know, in second place behind BlackRock. But ultimately, Aaron's Own got the draw, and that actually sent them through in top spot because they had the head-to-head advantage over BlackRock because they had beaten them in the first round of the game. So it finished with Aaron's Own on top.
Yeah, so Aaron's Own on top of that group in the end today after all the different back and forth and permutations and so on. And it seemed to change a lot over the course of the day, didn't it, Dennis? And I suppose that makes for great excitement as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a busy day. You're just following the scores from the other games on Twitter. It was definitely the one with the most movement in the live table. Like Aaron's Own snatching the draw against Charleville moved them from, like, they would have lost out if they'd finished level on points with the Bears. They'd have lost out in scoring difference because they drew with the Bears 3 weeks ago. But because they got the draw against Charleville, it put them top of the table then. So there was kind of no in between. Unfortunately for Charleville, had they won, they would have avoided the relegation playoff. But instead, they must play Carrick Tool, who finished bottom of Group B after they lost out to Napiershig. So that group was kind of done and dusted in terms of qualification. Even before today, the meeting between Stars and Middleton was to determine who finished top. And in the end, Stars got the victory there in Parky Ring. And the final score was 3-19 to 2-14. So they finished top and they take the top seeding overall, which puts them straight through to the semi-finals. And then in Group A, Douglas were going in pole position and they beat Bishopstown. So that meant that they finished with a 100% record. And then Glen Rovers and Newtown Shandrum, their meeting was effectively a knockout tie. If it had been a draw, the Glen would have gone through, but the Glen got the win they needed to finish in second. So the Glen are playing Imakilly in the quarterfinals. It's Douglas, Black Rock, and it's Aaron's Own and Middleton with Sarah straight through to the semi-finals.
Good stuff. So Sarah's goes straight through. That's his best group winners, is it, Dennis?
Yeah, they have the best overall ranking of the three group winners. Douglas have the second best, and then Aaron's Own are the third seeds.
So Douglas, BlackRock, Aaron's Own, Middleton and Glen Rovers versus Imakilly, and then Stars will face the winners of Aaron's Own and Middleton in their semi-final as well. So just from what you've seen, today, Dennis, and over the last few weeks so far of all the clubs and the teams, who is standing out for you so far? Who's really, really been good this year?
You'd have to say, looking at it now, that Stars are the form team. You know, having come through a tough group like that in fairly impressive fashion. Douglas have been very good as well, you know, in a group with the Glen and Newtown and Bishopstown to come out with full points there is no mean feat. But again, in saying that, you just don't know what will happen. Like last year, Sarah's looked really good as well and lost Aaron's Own in the quarterfinals after Aaron's Own squeezed through. So it's a case of back to zero almost. You know, BlackRock obviously is champions. They stuttered the first night against Aaron's Own, but they've picked up two wins since then, so they'll feel a little bit of momentum going in. And you know, it's nicely poised. You'd say, just going on the results we've seen, that Stars are probably the team to beat. But you know, anything can happen in knockout hurling, so the next few weeks should be very entertaining.
Absolutely, and like the teams you're mentioning there, both the Rockies and Stars having good wins today to wrap up their group stages. So, I mean, they'll both be kind of confident enough now going into the next round, won't they?
You'd have to imagine so. Douglas and BlackRock should be a very intriguing game, given that Douglas have been so good.
Yep.
And BlackRock are finding form now. So, you know, it's the business end of the championship. It's the real thing, I suppose, after the phony war of the group stages. So hopefully we're in for some cracking matches now.
Absolutely, looking forward to it. Dennis, thanks a million for joining us, and we'll chat to you again as the rest of the knockout stages progress.
Okay, thanks, Doc Cullum.
And we will have more Gaelic games later on in the show. We're going to be looking ahead to Monday night's Premier Minor Hurling Final. It's Bride Rovers taking on Glen Rovers. We'll hear from both the Bride Rovers camp and the Glen Rovers camp ahead of that match later on towards the second half of the show. But right now we are going to turn our attentions to football because it was the Republic of Ireland in action last night. And Stephen Kenny, as Ireland manager, getting his first competitive victory as Ireland manager, and he's had a tough run of it, unfortunately, Stephen Kenny, since he's come in. He's had a quite a bit of bad luck, really, I suppose, really, like if you think about it, with injuries and guys out through COVID and so on, and then even in certain games when maybe Ireland should have won, there was late goals conceded, like the Portugal game being your prime example with the two late goals from Cristiano Ronaldo, but finally got that competitive win last night, and Stephen Kenny staying resolute to his guns, and a lot of support for Stephen Kenny certainly out there as well, with many people thinking that he is going to do a good job with the Republic of Ireland. And last night, it was a 3-0 victory over in Baku in Azerbaijan. Two goals coming from Callum Robinson, as we said. Two great goals from Callum Robinson. He had been in the news for the wrong reasons earlier on in the week, but he was in the news for the right reasons last night. And the other goal, as we mentioned, came from a Cork man and a former Cork City player, Chidoze Ogbene, as well. And we're joined now by former Cork City star and former Republic of Ireland international, Joe Gamble, joining us to chat about last night's win. Hiya, Joe.
Hi, Colin. How are you keeping?
Not too bad at all. Joe, as we said, a good win for Stephen Kenny last night, and probably took a bit longer than he would have liked to get that competitive win, but it's been coming a while now, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, I think it was a fantastic performance away from home. You know, they got a vital 3 points, a vital win to get the monkey off his back, and look, you know, clean sheeting, 3 goals, and could have been a lot more goals, really. Overall, it was job done, and it was a fantastic performance.
Nice goals as well. Callum Robinson was the man who was in the press for the wrong reasons probably earlier on in the week, but he was in the press for the right reasons. Now one of the papers, on the front of the papers, for the right reasons today. Two great goals. His first goal in particular was a fantastic strike, wasn't it?
Yeah, his first one was a fantastic strike. I think maybe, I wouldn't say he shanked a little bit, but I don't know what he actually mean to go, you know, top corner. Yeah. But look, I think the second goal, he did really well to kind of get on his favourite foot. And look, ultimately the keeper did obviously make a bit of a hat-trick, but I mean, look, he hit the target and he got two great goals, and he was unlucky not to get a hat-trick, really. There was a lot of goals there to be had in the second half, so he tried he tried his hardest to get a third goal, but unfortunately he wasn't. But overall, he was very, very good on the night.
It's kind of what we've been missing for a while, is a guy to be scoring a good few goals for Ireland. There's been nobody really probably since like Robbie Keane bagging them in on a regular basis. We've seen Stephen Kenny try various guys up front. Adam Ida has been used quite a bit up front. Callum Robinson, I reckon he's hoping he might be the guy who could score regularly for Ireland.
Yeah, I think, look, unfortunately, I think Adam should have been kept on for longer, because there was goals there to be had, really, and I think he needs a goal, really, for his... Because, look, he has been excellent. I mean, he's still a young man, and he's leading the line for Ireland, and I just think he needed a goal for himself, and I was surprised he was taken off after, you know, such, I think it was 58, 60 minutes. Yeah. I think he could have been easy another 50 minutes to give him a chance to get the goals, because you could see in the second half that there was a lot more opportunity to score goals, and look, every time we went forward we looked like creating something. So on that front, I'm kind of disappointed Adam didn't stay on. But I think for Callum Robinson, I don't know, is he actually number 9 though? I don't know, is he, you know, is he a striker where he's back to goal, is at his favourite position? I think where he started off coming inside on his right foot from the left wing, I think that he's probably more natural favourite position. But look, I think we are lacking, obviously, goal scorers. But I mean, obviously, we're probably lacking supply to the goal scorers, maybe better supply going forward, not just the goal scorers. But also, look, as you mentioned, Robbie Keane probably a one-off. I mean, look, his goal scoring record for international football is up there with the best that ever was. So, you know, we can't necessarily keep looking backwards, because he's one of those strikers that come along in a generation that was just top-notch, really, for Ireland.
A clean sheet last night as well for the keeper and the defence, Joe. And Gavin Bazunu in goal, he's doing well, isn't he?
He's doing fantastically well. I mean, again, another young lad coming through. You know, it's great to see ex-League of Ireland players. You know, I know he only played a handful of games with Rovers, then went on to Man City. But it's great to see him getting a chance, and it's great to see him doing so well, because, look, he has done really well. He has done well. And fairness as well, the clean sheet was hard fought for last night, because, you know, on another night, I think we were very lucky to keep the clean sheet, and that's not being negative, but they did miss a few chances, and there was a few goal-mouth scrambles. But you could see it meant so much to everybody to have the clean sheet as well. It just gave it the back five and nine, obviously, and the keeper the extra incentive to keep the clean sheet, which was great to see.
We mentioned Callum Robinson getting the goals. We mentioned Adam Eden not scoring and being taken off maybe when there was a goal there for him. But another Cork man did pop up and get his first goal for Ireland, which is fantastic. An ex-Cork City man as well, Chidoze Ogbeni. And it was great to see him on the pitch, Joe, I suppose, and great to see him get a goal. And it was a lovely header too.
It was, yeah. Look, I was, as I said, look, I would have worked with Chidoze at Limerick when he left Cork City, and I was coach at Limerick. And you know what? I have to say, like, his work rate and his appetite to work is phenomenal. And I'm not surprised that he'd gone on to do so well in his career. I mean, honestly, like, I think so highly of him, because he's one of those players really where you give him the information, he took it on board, and he just excelled. And I think it was great to see him. And he's a concentrate. Look, his pace and power alone would scare the life off anyone. And he's so quick, so strong. And he came on in the second half, and the way Ireland were playing, basically were kind of dropping off in a low block, mid block, to transition to kind of go quickly to counter attack. He's the ideal man for that. And I don't think he's scored many headers. I don't think he's a natural goal scorer with his head. But it's great to see it. And you could see afterwards he was delighted with the goal, and I think it meant so much to him. So it's great to see him get on the goal scoring, and it's great to see him just on his debut, really. I mean, not debut, but his World Cup campaign for him, and an actual competitive debut. I think it was fantastic.
Fantastic to see a Cork lad like Chidoze there getting that goal. And there's actually quite a few Cork lads in the squad at the moment, which is great to see, Joe.
Yeah, I'd love to see, obviously, Cleven Keller. I'd love to see him get a run too. I think, you know, he's an upcoming keeper. He's at Liverpool. He's at a big club. I'm kind of disappointed that he hasn't had a game yet. But I think, look, it's only a matter of time before he gets a chance, really. Obviously, Adam Ida is doing very, very well there as well. So, look, there's obviously, Cork's always produced some good players and always produced international level players. So, may it land continue.
Absolutely. You mentioned Cuaimhín Kelleher. I mean, we're in a position where we have two very good young keepers coming up. In a way, it's a great thing. But if you're one of those keepers, like if you're Cuaimhín Kelleher, you're probably looking at Gavin Bazunu and thinking to yourself, Jesus, how unlucky am I that I'm coming through here and there's a fella who's at the same level as me already?
Yeah, look, it's very uncommon, really, to have such two very good keepers at such a young age. You normally have an older keeper with more experience and a young up-and-coming keeper. So Cuaimhín obviously can feel a bit aggrieved he's not getting the game, but I think it's a matter of time, because look, players' performances go up and down, injuries are a big part of it, and look, taking the opportunity is huge, and he will get an opportunity, there's no doubt about it. I mean, look, and even to say, look, as Gavin is doing very well, who's to say that Cuaimhín doesn't kick on his own personal career in club level and all of a sudden see him, can he, you know, put him in regardless? So I'm sure that could happen too, like.
Definitely, Joe. Just talking about Stephen Kenny then, I suppose, as a manager and looking at his reign so far, he's probably been unlucky in a lot of games. He's had a lot of players missing with injuries and COVID, and various squads were hit during COVID with fellas having to isolate and not making the squad and things. So he's been unlucky in that regard. But the results haven't come at all. I mean, it's been a very kind of barren spell in terms of picking up points or picking up wins. He's got a bit of criticism, but he kind of just bats the criticism off. He has his own set ideas and he seems to have this plan, this project that he wants to implement, and if it is to happen, it's going to take time, and the FAI will have to stick with them if that's going to go that way, won't they?
Yeah, look, I think in fairness, I mean, you're going to get criticism when you don't win games at professional level. It doesn't matter if you want to play lovely football, it doesn't matter if you play long ball, it doesn't matter what style of football that you have. Like, philosophy in professional football is winning, and that's it. Like, that comes down to you win first, and then afterwards you can talk about your philosophy and your plans and all that. But look, he's gone obviously a different route and given a lot more young players game time. He's obviously looking to the future and saying, okay, well, you know, how can we maybe look at the next World Cup or the next European Championships, and how can we maybe, you know, give these players, I'm not to say that he's going out to, you know, not perform, but obviously you're going to have him different performances and different results when you're playing so many young players, so many inexperienced players. And look, that's the way he's gone with it. And look, if that's what he believes and that's the principles that he wants, then, you know, I think you have to back him, because at the end of the day, he hasn't walked into an international team that's full of 30-year-old 50-cap players and there's a big production line behind him. Unfortunately, we don't have that production line, and he's gone with younger players, and he's gone to maybe go, okay, look, maybe I'm going to take a hit for a year or two and but give them, you know, 20, 30 games experience, and then are we going to be a better country for it? Maybe we are, maybe we're not, I don't know. But my worry is, will he get the time? And that's the problem, because if you're not winning games, you bring pressure on yourself, and media attention and the pressure that he has been on with the media. Look, the FA have got to back him, I think, personally, to give him a bit more time. And I think not even just to win last night, because look, realistically, we should be beating Azerbaijan anyway. You know, like, they're not exactly a top 50, I think, what is it, 120 something country in the world. So, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Like, we won a game, great, we got 3 points, get clean sheet. That's only one game. We've got to back it up with beating Luxembourg, obviously. I think Qatar next to the friendly. We've got to win 3 or 4 games in the bunks and then come to the big hitters. And right, how well are we doing? How have those players performed? Are we actually making any progress, or are we just going to stagnate? And that's the real test over the next 6 months, maybe 12 months. That's what's going to really show, you know, where we're at, really.
The Qatar game on Tuesday is just a friendly, Joe, as we know. But, I mean, to Stephen Kenny, it's probably important in terms of just that he's got a win. To get another win and get 2 wins in a row, even albeit in a friendly, and just start building that bit of a run would be very important for him, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You've got to look at every game you play at international football on any level. You want to win. Players want to win 5-a-sides and 3-a-sides, never mind 11-a-sides competitive games. So you need to breed that sort of winning mentality. So the players that are there, I know they're always going to give some new players maybe some caps or fellas who haven't played game time, which is very important. You have to. But they're obviously going to want to put their hands up and say, Steve, don't forget me. You know, I'm ready and available. I want to play. And of course, we want to win. I mean, the Irish camp are going to want to win. I want to go 2 wins in a row, go back to club level and look forward to the next camp, because winning breeds that sort of, I suppose, positivity in the camp. And it's very important that we follow up another win.
Absolutely. Listen, Joe, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for joining us, and hopefully next day we're chatting about it. It's another Ireland victory.
No problem. Thanks, Colin.
And mentioning the Qatar game there as well, on Tuesday, Ireland playing Qatar. Portugal, actually, Ireland, who are also in Ireland's group, played Qatar in a friendly game last night, and they won 3-0 as well in that game. But the thing out of that really was Cristiano Ronaldo making a record 181st international appearance, a European record, 181st international appearance. He was surpassing Sergio Ramos, who has played for Spain 180 times. Now Ronaldo has played for Portugal 181 times. It's a European record, and he's going to continue to play, obviously, for probably a couple of years, and he'll get quite a few more caps. And he scored in that game, not surprisingly, Ronaldo last night as well. So we'll see now if Callum Robinson or Chidozie Ogbeni can follow up and get a few goals against Qatar themselves on Tuesday night when Ireland take on Qatar. We're going to hear from Chidozie Ogbeni, actually, just his reaction briefly in a second to getting that goal last night for the Republic of Ireland. But first of all, let's hear the reaction of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny to getting his first competitive win. And naturally, he was delighted. And first of all, he was speaking about Callum Robinson, who got the 2 goals for Ireland last night, to the media after the game.
He is a very creative player and very versatile player, and he's quite intelligent, the positions he takes up and the decisions he makes. And it's ironic that he probably had 3 or 4 easier chances in the second half than the 2 he scored. The 2 he scored were absolutely outstanding finishes, and the volley he had in the first half that just was over the bar as well. It was a brilliant technical effort. And so he done terrific for us today, there's no doubt about that. I think from our point of view, the win was overdue, and you know, we wanted to, from our point of view, it's important. So to win 3-0 away from home in a qualifier is rare, and you know, Azerbaijan have been dangerous opponents for many teams in very tight games. Sorry, so for us to win 3-0 was terrific, and now that's just 1 defeat in 7 in the last 7 games, and that was the late goal against Portugal, of course, by Ronaldo. So boy, I feel we're improving all the time. Azerbaijan had some good periods in the first half of possession, but they didn't really create any clear-cut chances in that period. But they are, Azerbaijan are very good at retaining possession, and they did cause us some problems in the first half. But obviously, with Callum Robinson's two terrific goals, gives a great platform, and the third one that he nearly scored that just clipped the top of the bar nearly.
That is Stephen Kenny, the Republic of Ireland manager, giving his reaction to the media after Ireland's win, 3-0 win over Azerbaijan last night in the World Cup qualifiers. As we said, a Cork man got the 3rd goal for Ireland. It was Chidozie Ogbeni, formerly of Cork City. And man, as Joe Gamble said, that he knows well as well. So let's hear what Chidozie Ogbeni had to say after the Ireland game last night.
Obviously, I believe in myself. I believe in my abilities, and I guess, you know, I haven't come here by luck. You know, the manager's watched me, you know, for many months and years. So he obviously believes that my qualities is, you know, valuable to the team. So when I was on the pitch, obviously, it's a lot different from club football. This is obviously the highest, you know, highest level in football, and it's always been a dream of mine. But, you know, it is a lot faster. Obviously, credit to Azerbaijan, the way they move the ball and, you know, keep the ball very well. It was a tough, you know, it was a tough night for our front three. But we were prepared for it, you know, all week. We know what they're capable of, and we were prepared for it to, you know, to press in the right time to sit in. I must say that, you know, it's required a lot more energy in this level, you know, to work harder, to get the ball back, because it's so valuable to have, you know, to have the ball at this level. But yeah, as I said, you know, I believe in my abilities, and, you know, we worked hard all week, we've planned for this day, and we're just so happy to get the result.
So that's Chidoze Ogbene getting Ireland's third goal last night. Cork man, great to see a Cork man on the score sheet for Ireland always. And you never know if you're going down to the Turner's Cross tonight to watch the Ireland under-17s team. You might see some Cork men on the score sheet for the Ireland under-17s tonight down in the cross as well, because they're back in action against North Macedonia at Turner's Cross tonight. 7 p.m. kickoff there, about 30 minutes time, still plenty of time to get down. Nice evening for the game, actually. The boys in green were playing in the cross as well on Thursday night. I was down at that game, saw 5 goals there as the Republic of Ireland beat Andorra 5-0 in the under-17s, with Cork City's Mark O'Mahony among the scorers and his City teammate Cathal Heffernan captaining the Republic of Ireland under-17s as well. Colin O'Brien is the gaffer, the manager, and Rory caught up with Colin after the win over Andorra on Thursday.
Colin, you're obviously happy with the result. Are you happy with the performance?
I think, look, you know, first we'll say games in competition can always be a kind of a nervy or cagey game, especially in the opening minutes. But, you know, we knew Andorra were going to maybe defend with numbers, defend low. We knew they were going to be quite direct. So it was a new challenge for the players. Not every team is now going to build up against them. So they do have to do the other side of it, like winning headers, fighting for second balls. That's part of the game, and part of the education for them. And that's what comes in tournament. But look, I thought Justin grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck to score a goal in the first half, and look, it was just get him in at half time. I thought we were just a little bit hasty with some of our decision making in the first half, and we got into good areas, but second half I thought they were excellent, executed some of the player really well, and you know, it's great to see different scorers as well for the team.
Yeah, Mark O'Mahony's making a habit of scoring into the shed, isn't he?
Yeah, look, again, great for him. You know, we think we've got two or three good players that can play in the nine. You know, Mark's come on, there was, you know, no disappointment with him. You know, he came on, that's what we look for players to do, try and make an impact, and what better way to do than put the ball in the back of the net. So yeah, did really well when he came in tonight.
What are you expecting now from Macedonia on Sunday?
It'll be a completely different challenge. They're after getting a point today in the game, so that'll be a big result for them. I don't think people might have expected that, but that's tournament football at this age group. Again, they'll be well organised. There'll be a lot of fight in the team, no doubt about that. And you know, from what some of the staff saw them play today, they've, you know, they've got two or three very good technical players, and something we got to be mindful of. But we'll begin our prep for them tomorrow. We'll focus very much on ourselves, but we'll still have to have our work done on the opposition as well.
It's a quick turnaround, but I suppose when you're 16, that doesn't really matter, does it?
Look, they did play every day if they could, and that's a refreshing part of it when you're working with this age group. The enthusiasm is there. You know, they all want to learn, they all want to improve. But look, you know, tonight it's important to enjoy the win. That's really, really important. Tomorrow there'll be a little bit of recovery, but yeah, you do move quickly. We do have the 2 days to get prepped, and but that's tournament football. You know, that's the way it is. They're prepared for that, and it's a new stage of their development now.
And Colin, a decent crowd here tonight, even if it's a miserable night. Like, but hope for the same again on Sunday.
Yeah, it would be great. Yeah, absolutely. As I said, I think we've got some exciting players here. I think you saw some good individual goals tonight and some good individual player. I think there's still more to come from some of those players as well. And I think it puts us in a position now, if, you know, win the game Sunday night and the team qualifies for the next phase, guaranteed. So, you know, definitely people of Cork, we love more support to the game, and the players really, again, just coming off the pitch there, you know, just the way they went to the supporters, thank them, trying to make that connection with them. And you know, any more support we can get Sunday night, that'd be great for the team.
And kick off in that game against North Macedonia for the Republic of Ireland under 17s is just about 25 minutes away now, 7 p.m. down in Turner's Cross. So if you are heading down to that game, from what I saw myself down there on Thursday night, the 5 goals against Andorra, you're in for a treat. It's a very, very talented Ireland's under 17 team, and great, as we said, to see some Cork lads involved in that as well. So best of luck to Colin O'Brien and the Irish under 17s tonight in Turners Cross against North Macedonia. And they're also playing in Turners Cross on Wednesday afternoon. I think it's a 1 p.m. kickoff against Poland. So plenty of opportunities this week to see some of the up and coming stars of Irish football of the future. And no doubt some of them will feature in Stephen Kenny's team over the next couple of years as well, when they further kind of move on with their development. But for tonight, it's the Irish under 17s against North Macedonia at 7 p.m. down in the Cross. Now, coming up on the bench, we have got rugby in just a few minutes. We'll have reaction to Munster's big, big win today. A superb 6-try, 43 points to 13 win over Scarlets. Unfortunately, they lost Loch Orgy Snyman to injury in that game as well. But a 30-point winning margin. Very, very impressive for Munster. We've also got Gaelic games and plenty more to come here on the Big Red Bench between now and 7 o'clock.
Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM. Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you until 7 o'clock here on the Big Red Bench. Busy, busy Sunday of sport. Now we're going to turn our attentions to rugby. And Munster were in action today against Scarlets. They went into the game with two wins under their belts already in the all-new United Rugby Championship. And the game was over in Wales today. What we were thinking when we were chatting to Tomás O'Leary on the show yesterday would be a pretty tough assignment for Munster against a decent Scarlets side. But it turned out to be pretty run-of-the-mill for Munster, a pretty big win for them all the same. Munster beating Scarlets 43 points to 13 in the United Rugby Championship in Wales this afternoon. Liam Coombs went over the line twice for Johan van Grad's side as they sealed a bonus point as well. And that is now 3 wins from 3 for the Reds this season. The win was slightly overshadowed by RG Snyman having to limp off injured. He came on as a substitute and had to go off injured again. But it was nonetheless a big, big win for Munster. And afterwards, man of the match, Chris Clute and Captain Jack O'Donoghue were speaking to the media. And they were very, very happy with Munster's 30-point winning margin.
I guess when you get the opportunity to play, we've got 53 players in our squad and we all have to play at some stage in the season. So when you get your opportunity, I guess you just have to step up and do your best and enjoy the minutes that you get.
Your player of the match medal is testament to the work you did at the breakdown. Is that where you think the game was won today?
No, I don't think. I think our more defence was really great, and our defence overall, 6-1, I think that shows you that our defence was really good today. I mean, it was a great team effort today.
Yeah, very clinical. When those chances came, you jumped on them.
Yeah, no, I think we had a good a week's training and really sharpened up during the week. And when the opportunities arose, we really took them with both hands.
Chris, congratulations.
Cheers, thank you.
Ask your captain to step in. Well, Jack, we spoke before the match about all the changes ahead of this match, 11 changes in all. A chance for these fringe players to show what they can do. And yeah, Johan was truly justified in his decisions.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of lads out there, they deserve their chance. There's been an incredible effort from pre-season, first two sets of games, and you know, look, it's a great win on the road, and we're just building to finish strong at the end of this block.
And momentum now into Connacht next week. This is a fantastic start to your season. Maximum points, 15.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we have a quick enough turnaround now to Connacht, so there's definitely a lot of sore bodies inside the change room. So you know, we'll recover and we'll regroup, and look, we'll certainly take some learnings out of that. But you know, we've a lot of positives to take into Connacht next week.
A quick one on the Scarlets, if I may. Were you surprised how easily they rolled over?
No, look, they're an incredible outfit. They always bring a physical game. Like the scoreboard doesn't reflect the type of game was. That was a real physical encounter, especially like I said before the game, it was going to be one up front in the forwards. You know, I thought our Maul D and our lineup was really good, but look, Scarlets threw everything at it, and we probably got a few bouncing balls which went our way, which is positive.
That's Munster's Jack O'Donoghue even speaking to the media after their big win today. As we said, 43 points to 13 in the United Rugby Championship in Wales. Now we're going to turn our attentions to Gaelic games and Bride Rovers facing Glen Rovers in Monday's Premier Minor Hurling Final. Aidan caught up with Bride Rovers manager Brendan Walsh ahead of that game.
Bride Rovers Minor Hurling manager Brendan Walsh joins me. Thanks for coming on the show, Brendan.
Yeah,
No problem, thank you.
What a way to make a minor championship final, I suppose, going all the ways to extra time with Ballincollig. And you seem to find an extra gear in that period.
Yeah, thank God we did. We kind of struggled all game to get in the flow of it. For fairness, Ballincollig bring us a great fight. It was an unbelievable battle. Thank God we got that, I say, a bit of luck. We got that few goals in the extra time period to really kind of cement that result, thank God.
Killian Tobin grabbed the headlines with 10 points and all. It must be exciting to coach young talents like him.
Oh yeah, he's an unbelievable talent. And especially he's a great lad. Down to earth, doesn't really get up the hype a bit, but he's just an absolute athlete. He goes through the wall, puff lift here. Thank God. I suppose we've four or five nearly the same as him. Do the same as him. So thank God we got a great panel.
And you come up against Glen Rovers, who defeated the reigning champions St Finbarrs in their semi final. Makes for an exciting matchup in the decider.
Oh yeah, we've played them now. All the way it's coming up, and you can see that the Glen always bring, especially minor level. They always peak for minor level. So hopefully this draw is going to be tit for tat. We just 50-50, definitely 50-50 game. Let's hope we get the right result, and the Glen are probably the same thing.
You know each other well in that case, so you've come up against each other a few times in the underage structure. There might be a bit of a rivalry there, so is there?
Oh, there's always a bit of rivalry between Boyd Rovers and the Glen. Just a bit of history, you know, for every person we play, there's always a bit of rivalry anyway. So there's always a bit of, you know, that's what you want in that situation. It's probably one around Hollington, so there's always going to be a fight.
I can imagine there's a huge buzz heading into the weekend. Is it as much about the lads enjoying this opportunity in the minor final opposed to feeling any pressure heading into it?
Yeah, oh definitely. We got them in the 16th final last year. I just was the pressure too much from that year. So look, hopefully, you know, we got the preparation right this year. The mindset will be a lot more focused and off the pressure, be off them.
That is Bride Rovers manager Brendan Walsh, ahead of the their Monday night's premier minor hurling final for Bride Rovers against Glen Rovers. Now we're going to hear from the Glen Rovers camp, and we're going to hear from Glen Rovers coach Tony Wall ahead of Monday's minor decider.
Glen Rovers minor hurling coach Tony Wall joins me. Tony, thanks for coming on.
Not a bad rating. Great to be in the final, to have the opportunity to talk to you.
Exactly. And if there's one way to make a statement in a championship, it's to knock out the reigning champions. And you did that by defeating St Finbarrs in the semi-final.
Yeah, we did. Look, it was a very, very good performance by our lads. You know, I suppose we've been improving as the season has gone on. And, you know, at the start of the season, I think everybody would have pointed to two teams sort of being the front runners, that would have been the Bars and Bride Rovers. So it's great for us to put ourselves in amongst that company, and our performance last Saturday was really, really satisfying.
Stephen Lynham stepped up with an impressive tally of 1-6 on the day. It must be great to have players like him in the side.
Well, absolutely. But Stephen was excellent last Saturday. And, you know, in previous games, and we've had other players have stepped up, you know, so Kieran McGuire and Owen O'Leary, obviously, Cian Walsh. You know, Reece Dunn, we've a nice spread of players around the pitch. And, you know, to be fair, it's never been the same guy all the time. It's always been a nice spread in from game to game, fellas step up when the need occurs.
I understand these two sets of players that have played each other many times through the age group as well, so there's plenty of familiarity there between the two sides.
Yeah, there has been. I mean, I think they played in the group stages last year at under 16 level in the Glen field, but I think on the day, Bride Rovers were just far too strong for us. So it was, you know, they qualified, they went on to the final afterwards, whereas I think we actually failed to get out of the group last year. So it was, you know, it's good for us to kind of rebound and regroup and come back and, as I said, get ourselves in a position of where we face a familiar foe again. You know, but as I said, at the start of the year, I think everybody would have pointed at the Bars and Bride Rovers as being the two best teams probably in the competition. So as I said, they're a formidable opponent for next Monday night.
And getting young lads prepared for a final like this can always be a bit of a double-edged sword. You don't want to heap too much pressure on them, but of course it's a big game. How do you find that middle ground?
I think what's different this year, Aidan, really, is the fact that this is the first year where minors are under 17 rather than under 18, so they're that bit younger. So you're dealing with, you know, 16-year-olds and even 15-year-olds, you know, who are part of the squad. So that brings its own challenges. I think one of the things that helps probably both teams is the fact that the final is only a week after the semi-final, so there's not really much time to dwell on it and to think about it. So look, we're just keeping it light and keeping the lads fresh all week. it's good to have a bit of banter in training. You know, as I said, we're going in as probably, you know, underdogs in the sense that we really have nothing to lose. There was not a whole lot expected of us this year. So, you know, it is a nice place to be. It's a nice place to be. And as I said, the short turnaround is probably helping both sides, I think.
Exactly. And I presume the usual county final buzz as well around the club and the parish.
Absolutely. You know, it's a great weekend. I mean, our intermediates are playing today. Our seniors are playing tomorrow. And then we're in action on Monday night. So it's a busy time for the club. You know, it's great to have, you know, to have your seniors, you know, hopefully win tomorrow, get into the quarterfinal or semi-final and ourselves. And if we can, you know, if we can put on a good performance Monday night, we'll be in with every chance, you know, to bring a bit of silverware back.
Exactly. It makes for an exciting weekend and an exciting decider Monday. Tony, best of luck and thanks very much for speaking with us on the Big Red Bench.
Not a bother, Aidan. Thanks.
That's Tony Wall there from the Glen speaking ahead of their Munster, of their minor final on Monday evening. Now, we're talking about the big game down at Turner's Cross tonight, the Republic of Ireland under-17s in action against North Macedonia. And we're going to go live there right now. We heard from Colin O'Brien earlier on. Rory O'Hagan is down there. Roar, how are you? Atmosphere building?
Good, buddy. Yeah, it's good crowd building up here now at the cross at the moment. The announcement's just being made at the moment. I'm glad I'm not on PA duty tonight because there are some doozies in that North Macedonian team that I would not like to try and read out professionally, so I'm just not going to do that now tonight. But for the Republic of Ireland, I suppose, the big news tonight is that Marco Manni is in the starting 11. He was introduced as a second-half substitute in the 5-0 win over Andorra. Scored. He was a handful. Created plenty of chances and played very, very well. But introduced, so Colin O'Brien has awarded him for the place in the starting 11 tonight. And his Cork City teammate Frank Ume drops to the bench. Ireland on 4-3-3 tonight, and some very exciting players that we saw at Turner's Cross last week. Kevin Zeffi of Milan being one of them, a fantastic player, very exciting on the ball. Justin Ferrazage, the Shamrock Overs player, who scored a wonder goal to open the scoring last Thursday night. He's in the team. He's got to be in the midfield along with McManus and Rocco Vata as well. So it's an exciting Irish team. Colin O'Brien has been playing some very, very nice football. They're well organised. They attack well. They defend well. Led at the back, of course, by Cork's own Conor Heffernan, who captains the Republic of Ireland side tonight. Looking forward to a good game here. Come kick-off come up about 7 o'clock.
Great stuff. And I might get down for the second half myself, Roar, but we were both there watching the game on Thursday night. 5-0 win over Andorra, and Ireland were very, very impressive, weren't they?
Yeah, they were very impressive, particularly in the second half as well. I suppose the first half they scored, and I suppose it took a while for them to find their gear after that Ferrazage goal. But the second half, whatever Colin O'Brien said to them at half time, just seemed to work. They clicked and they started passing the ball around, moving forward, attacking very, very smartly, and getting some very, very well worked goals. Zeffi with two assists from the right hand side last night, including the one for Marco Manni for his goal into the shed. And of course, he scored against Mexico into the shed last month as well. So he's made a habit of that. So hopefully, it'll be third time lucky for Manni scoring into the shed tonight. But yeah, look, there's some very, very exciting players in this Irish team. The stars of the future, as Colin said in his interview with you a couple of weeks back, Colin, are going to be on display tonight. So looking forward to watching them. They were good against Andorra on Thursday, so hoping for more of the same against North Macedonia tonight.
Great stuff, Roar. Listen, enjoy the game, and hopefully we'll get another Irish victory down there.
Fingers crossed. We'll see you for the second half, Colin.
Certainly will. All right, 7 p.m. kickoff there in Turner's Cross for that one tonight, for the Republic of Ireland versus North Macedonia. The under-17s, and a really, really talented bunch they are as well. Now, we're nearly out of time, but just to wrap up, we are going to turn our attentions to Gaelic Games as well. And on our Women in Sport podcast this week with Ger McCarthy, Ger was speaking to Cork footballer Sive O'Leary about being nominated for an All-Star, and also chatting to her new Cork manager as well, Shane Renane.
Joining us on the line is Kinsale and Cork senior footballer and now All-Star nominee Sive O'Leary. Sive, hearty congratulations on your first ever All-Star nomination. When and where were you when you heard?
Thanks, Ger. I was actually in school when I heard. It was a text from Shane Renane. He was just saying congrats on the nomination, and I hadn't found out yet about it, so I actually went to Twitter then because I wasn't sure what it was, the nomination. So then when I found out, you know, it was actually such a lovely thing to read. But just, I suppose, it's a nice little individual thing to put icing on the cake at the end of the year, I suppose.
It is, and fully deserved, Sive, because you've forced your way onto a Cork senior team, a very talented panel to begin with, but to make your way onto the starting 15 and to play so consistently, I mean, it's fully deserved, as are all the other Cork nominations. But you must be delighted, as you said, because it does reflect what a great season. It didn't end the way you would have wanted, but it does reflect a great individual season for yourself.
Yeah, I suppose I was still half shocked when I heard the nomination, but, you know, it was nice because after the season, it was my first year rapidly starting, but I felt I probably just grew mostly in confidence, and in terms of my mindset, I probably had that more a bit of belief in my play. So it's definitely nice just to recognise then my first year playing and starting at Cork. So, no, it's definitely a really nice honour.
How big a step up in terms of intensity was it joining in with the Cork senior training sessions, and then how much did those inter-county games bring you on?
Yeah, like every training session, you know, it's highly intense, and it was definitely something we always tried to make sure that, you know, training was no different to matches. So we'd be like the hour and a half that we were there, we'd give it everything. And then I suppose going into matches, you know, there's nothing like a match, how competitive they are. So, like, I know at the start of the league, even, they felt like championship matches. You know, they're great for building players especially. But, yeah, inter-county matches, they're just highly intense. But, no, they're very good.
You mentioned the league, National League campaign. That was probably more important for the likes of yourself and Katie Quirk and a few others, like, who had broken into the team. Like, you really had to show what you could do. You had an opportunity to show what you could do to Evie Fitzgerald and the management team during those games.
Yeah, definitely. I feel, you know, the league campaign is definitely an opportunity for a lot of players to show themselves, and it's definitely an opportunity for managers to try out loads of different players and see what works. So, yeah, me and Casey, we got a load of chances in the league, which stood to us. And, you know, we, in the forward line, I felt we did really well in the league. And, you know, it's great to see all the different diversity of players getting their chance.
Yeah, it is. It was a theme, I think, over this year and probably the last 2 years. And you mentioned Katie Quirk. There's a lovely photograph taken by Anish Photography. I think it was down in Dungarvan at the league match. Yourself and Katie, towards the end of the game, you've both been brought off. You know the one I'm talking about. You're both sitting there and laughing at each other. But I got the sense this year from attending the Cork matches and a few training sessions, yes, it was intense, but there was a real commitment and a camaraderie amongst the panel.
No, definitely, yeah. We're all such a close bunch. And you can see there, myself and Katie, we were pretty having a laugh there after. I think it was the Waterford game, all right. But, you know, we were all such a close bunch. And I think it's the fact that there's no egos within the team that makes us all, like, you know, we all get on so well. So, no, it's really nice having that. And I think it definitely helps us as well in our successes.
Now, unfortunately, it didn't end the season, as I said earlier, it didn't end the way Cork and yourselves wouldn't have wanted, like losing out in the final 5 or 10 minutes to the eventual All-Ireland champions, Donegal. But before I get into that, what was it like playing in Croke Park as a Cork senior footballer, first of all? Were you able to enjoy the occasion as much as you could, or were you just totally focused on playing the game?
Yeah, I try to remind myself all the time just to enjoy the game. So I think that's how I personally play best, if I just enjoy it. Obviously, on the day, nerves, you can't put them to the side sometimes. But I think as well, on that day against Meath, you know, they were just so defensive. Like, we broke them down in the second half, and I think we did do everything right, but we definitely just let it slip in the end. But I found, you know, me myself as a player, it was kind of hard to attack against so many when they had so many back. But yeah, I think it was definitely one we let go. But, you know, we'll only take that with us for the next year and we'll work on that and learn from it.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. I mean, you go into the new championship season early next year or whenever it begins, but you go in with that kind of little chip on your shoulder, wanting to rectify what happened in the semi-final. But you also go in with a brand new management team. Now, we don't know what that management team is just yet. We do know Shane Ronan is going to be in charge. But I suppose a new manager coming in, as much and as thankful as you are to Evie Fitzgerald, it is really a fresh start again now for everybody, and a fresh start with something to prove.
Yeah, definitely. I think any team can benefit from a bit of freshness, and I know Shane's been involved with a lot of the team as well, so he's familiar with us all, which is great as well. And I know that, you know, I feel he'll definitely give us everything, and he's just highly passionate. So I think I'm really optimistic for the year ahead.
Good to hear. Now, you're back with your club, Kinsale. I know how much you love playing for Kinsale, and especially now that you're a senior football club. You got your championship campaign off to a winning start, but you were pushed to the pin of your collar by Clonakilty in West Cork recently. How important was it to get a win on the board, especially when you're about to face Aroge?
Yeah, no, that was definitely vital, especially, you know, it's the first match. You really need to get a win under the belt with when we knew we had Aroge and St. Fals ahead of us. So we've Aroge this weekend, and there's just always massive rivalry between us. So hopefully now we'll get a win in that game as well. But, you know, I feel this season as well, with West Cork not being there, there's definitely an opening for any of the teams to get into the final. You know, we're not just going to be there to compete. We'll definitely be competitive, and hopefully we can aim to get to the final this year.
Yeah, you're right there, because it is your particular group with Clonakilty, with Aroge and with St. Fals and yourselves. It is very, very even. I mean, there's two teams to go through to the A semi-finals, but even after this weekend, it may not necessarily be decided. How easy was it, or how thankful were you after the disappointment of the All-Ireland semi-final to get back to your club, to get back to the roots and get playing again with the people that you've grown up with?
Yeah, it's really nice. And I feel, you know, we can say it's very similar to Cork. Like, we're all very, you know, there's no egos. We're very modest and we work together. And it's really nice just to be back with the girls when we're training at Cork. I don't get to be training the same night, so I don't get to train with them at all. It's really nice, and I feel we have a really nice team, and hopefully we'll be able to do it now this year.
Indeed. And let's just bring it back finally to that All-Star nomination, the first time nomination for you. How did your schoolmates and your family react to the news?
Oh, they were thrilled. You know, when I got home, Mum just gave me a massive hug. But you know, they were delighted, and they said, you know, it was all well deserved and everything. So, you know, it was really nice even for them, because they've always been supporting me throughout the year.
That is Saeed O'Leary there talking to Jer about her nomination for an All-Star. And that is us pretty much out of time for this evening. The very best of luck to the Republic of Ireland under-17s, a great Irish under-17s team. Should be a cracking game, kicking off in about 3 minutes' time now down in Turner's Cross against North Macedonia. So best of luck to Colin O'Brien and all the players there as well. That is us out of time. Stand by for Connor. He's on the way on Green on Red, and he's got some fella hosting with him as well, who sings a lot of songs about being fake fine and so on. Mr. Robert Grace is in the house too. Green on Red on the way.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM. It's